This is the Word of God from the Household of David Church. It is a message designed to raise men after God's own heart. Listen and be blessed.
Are we set? Okay, let's read Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. I want to read from verse 26. Mark 4:26. And he said, this is Jesus talking, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom of God operates a principle similar to casting a seed to the ground. Did we get that? So if you want to understand the kingdom, one of the best ways is to look at seed principle. I want to talk about sacrifices and altars. And this, all that we do, first service, second service, and third service, will only be part one. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. There is what is called the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. There is what is called the sacrifice or seed of words. And there is what is called sacrifice of material things. But we are starting this way that Jesus said that you have to understand that means the kingdom functions like seed principle. So in Genesis 1, we can have your seat. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, verse 11, 10 and 11. Let's read. Okay, stay with 11. It's okay. And God called the dry land and the garden of water he called seas, and God saw it was good. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seeds, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whose seed is in itself. There is a scripture we refer to severally during this teaching. What is in Exodus 20:24? When you fight as a Christian against any situation, do not fight with just one weapon. I will talk more about the second service. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thy oxen, in all the places where I record my name. Everybody say the last thing together. Say it again. Say it one more time. What is talking there? He said, if you make an altar of the earth, and we explained that why he said that no tool must be on the altar. He said, anywhere you do that, I will come to thee and I will bless you. What is it with God and sacrifices? He said, if I see a sacrifice, I will come and bless thee. Genesis 8, let's start from verse 21.
Let every other name fear the wind. See, there's only you.
Let me play it. Are we there? And the Lord, let's start from verse 20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Noah builded an altar to the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Next verse. Remember, Exodus, if I see sacrifice, what will happen? I will come to you and bless you. So now Noah, and the Lord smelled a savour, and the Lord said in his heart. Not that he said it loud. Of course, he revealed it to Moses later. I will not again curse the ground. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. You mean there are activities that a man can start or not that can make God say something? He did not say this in chapter 7. He did not say this because it was Noah. Noah came out of the sheep, and there was no record that the Lord said he should all fight. He just decided. And when he did, God said something. Second Samuel, we are going to move to two other people who offered sacrifice and God came. One of them was Balaam. In the midst of his disobedience, 3 times God came down to talk to Balaam. But every single time he offered an altar, God did not like what he was doing. An angel nearly killed him on the way. But every time he raised that altar, God had no choice but to come down to say something to the guy. Because God does not break his word. He said, when you erect an altar, I will come to you and I will bless you. I know that one of the sessions will get to the greatest altar and sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ himself. But there are things we do. So God said this word. Then next verse, 22. He did not only respond to what Noah did, then he gave what you call an eternal principle. Actually, he already said this where we read in Genesis 1:11, that the seed of everything will always be in itself. Then again he said it here, why the earth remains. Everybody say, why the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Why the earth remains. In the Bible, separate words from prophets from words from God. This one came from the lips of Jehovah directly to Noah. That Noah, I tell you what, why as long as you live on this earth, there is a principle that will never fail. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, I'm going to build my kingdom on this principle. It is called seed principle, that why the earth remains. Seed, it is written together here, but actually it's like the seed, time, harvest. There will be seed. In between there will be. So, as I was teaching on Sunday, I don't know whether it was last Sunday that I said it or 2 Sundays ago, about the king of Moab in 2 Kings chapter 3. The king of Moab, you know, forgive me that I'm not shouting as I would have loved to, but just understand it. The king of Moab wanted to fight against the king of Israel, king of Judah, and king of Edom. 3 kings against one. The king of Moab so much trusted his soldiers, he was not afraid of the battle. Then the 3 kings that wanted to fight him had water issue. And you know the meaning of that. Maybe 500,000 soldiers moved around wilderness and there was no water for many days. And one of them said that, hey, it's as if God has called to destroy us. But thank God for Jehoshaphat. If you are not Jehoshaphat, you need Jehoshaphat around you. Those who walk by faith, not by sight. Jehoshaphat said, no, God has not planned to kill us. We only need one thing. Is there not a prophet around this area? And this is not a call to see prophet around. No, this is New Testament. We're just taking something. And somebody said, hey, there is Elisha. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Joseph said that the word of God is with him. And when they got there, Elisha said, he was first of all angry because of Ahab's son. Then he said, because of Jehoshaphat, who is a good man, I will look at all of you. So what's the problem? And they told him. And he said, bring me a minstrel. He's worshiping. The Bible says, as the minstrel played, the Spirit of God came upon him, or the hand of God came upon him, and he began to prophesy. And he said, bring me a minstrel, for thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink both you and your cattle. He solved their problem with a prophetic word. But you see, God is excessive in nature. It didn't stop there. I come that they may have life. How? Have it abundantly. Unto him that is able to do. How? Exceeding. This was what they came for. They only needed water. But then, next verse. And this is a life thing in the sight of God. It will deliver the Moabites also. Nobody goes to God without receiving Jara. He likes to add something. He said it is water you need. He said it's a small thing. But and we also, you didn't talk about winning the battle. But you know what? I give you that as well. Next verse. You shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, every good tree, and stop all wells, and man every good piece of the land with storms. Next verse. Now, water started flowing, but go down, 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 down. The last three verses. I call you to say, you should see, please, last three verses, thank you. Start from the third to the last second, and then the last. And then, when they came up to the camp of Israel, they rose against them. Just go down, last three. They beat every fenced city and left them. So, verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even the king of old Edom, but they could not. Next verse. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their land. This is a very heart-touching story. Elisha received double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He was the most anointed voice on earth at that time, whose words couldn't have failed for any reason. He gave them a word from the Lord of total victory, total destruction of Moab. I don't know who taught the king of Moab this principle of sacrifice. He took 700 of his best fighters, and he said that three kings are fighting us, Israel here, maybe Judah here, Edom here. And he said that strategically, I can see that the weakest of them is Moab, of Edom, is Edom. Let's try and, we can't win, but let me escape. Let's pass through Edom. He told the sword men, please break through Edom, get me out and let's run away. But even at that, he failed. You know, I have seen people who have failed so much in life. Then they even try something that is below them. Even that is not working. They have tried many things. They even go as low as begging. Even begging doesn't work for them. Everybody they talk to, as either giving his money to somebody or tells them that, see, there's nothing I can do. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think at that point, the guy understood that, say, this is something serious against me. Of course, because prophecy was working against him. Then he did something. God will never accept human sacrifice. But the audacity of his action, because of what God said at the beginning, when I see sacrifice, in his own case, it was not an Israeli. So God did not exactly bless him, but he told Israel to leave him alone. At least he escaped with his life. Who could have died? I want to read, and I will build more on it. Psalm 126 verse 5. What is there? Lest they that sow in tears make way. You know, at times I'm praying and the Spirit of God will impress some things very strongly in my spirit. I am not only speaking to those who are here. It says all seed is in itself. They that sow in tears, if you are in tears, sow. One of the meetings I was during the weekend, I began to tell them, people are coming, and because of the evil that some have done, the gimmicks of men, greediness of men, who have come into the house of God to preach seed and get money from people, it has made believers, or it has made it difficult for genuine people to teach the whole counsel of God. I am not helping you if I'm not teaching you the whole counsel of God. If there is no fake 10,000 naira notes, because there is no original 10,000 naira notes. Men might have perverted things, but whatsoever you see from Genesis to Revelation as a truth in God's word, there is nothing you can do about it. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it does, it multiplies. Remember, the kingdom of God is like a seed. They that sow in tears, this scripture is very powerful. Except a corn of wheat, John 20:24, falls to the ground. Why did David say that? Now, or whoever wrote that part of Psalm 126. Now, let's read verse 6. Verse 5 said, that so in tears. Verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Hi. Are you with me? Some of the things I'm going to say next week, I might go to some there, but I will definitely come back to this message if I don't. But most likely I'll continue to say, but everything I'm going to say, we are going to pick scriptures from Old Testament to New, so that you can go home and look at God's word for yourself. I see people crying in the church, and what they want is for pastor to help them. They that sow in tears, he that goeth forth weeping. They say ancestral spirit. They say this and that. I said, I don't know. Any business I start, it does not work. And this is the level many have stayed. Listen to me very well. Calling your business a Christian name is not the way of connecting Christ to your business. Mary and sons, Jesus at work here, carpentry shop. No. What is in Psalm 50 verse 1? You know, I feel like the mighty God, even the Lord has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down. What is he saying? Verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Verse 3. Our God shall come. He will not keep wife. Verse 4. He shall call heavens from above to the earth that he may, verse 5, judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Are you one of such? Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. He said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Let's conclude the final part of that. Shall doubtless. Shall doubtless. Beyond every shadow of doubt. I say to you, church, there is no drought, dry season, attack that you cannot stop with precious seed. What is a precious seed? It is not one man tell that come and sow 1,000 seeds. No. There are 3 seeds. One is the word. Another seed is sacrifice or praise. The other thing is material giving. This is what happens. It is God who ministers seed to the sower. That means a precious seed to God is not what man tells you to do. It's what God tells you to do. But you know what? The seed is with you. Because when he created everything, he put the seed in itself. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
That's why we grow other things by just planting the seed in them. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting? This is how we transit from season to season. Some have been, you know, honestly speaking, all of you will agree with me. To tell some people to pray more is almost to be wicked. Some have been to every mountain. They have fasted, they've cried. At least I know about 2 ladies. They are not here. Maybe one is in her late 40s, single. There is no type of fasting they've not done about getting married. What then should you tell them again to go and do? 7 days with water alone. One of them, 7 days without water. And each of those 7 days, pray for 7 hours. And 3 years have come and gone after that activity. Nothing has changed. They were told by men, if you do biri biri, God will answer. But they did not wait for God to know. Men and brethren, meditate and take this message serious. Sacrifice. There is something with them that if the Lord, what is in Psalm 118, verse 27? You know, many times the Spirit ministers to people. Some fear keeps them back. Some doubt. Yeah. If you are using some other translation, it says it is God. But this one says God is Lord, which has showed us lights. Now we are enlightened, we know what to do. What is the light? By the sacrifice we cause, even to the horns of the altar. They that sow in tears shall doubtless. I remember in a particular church, whose name I don't want to mention, but the man and the wife, that would be their maybe 14th year of being married and no child. They were scheduled by a doctor in America to come and do IVF. And they met this pastor. And they told him, and he said, no problem, God is not against IVF. Then the husband turned back and said, why are we doing IVF? And he told the wife, the ticket money and the money for the IVF, we are going to give it as a seed. In 9 months, they that sow in tears, listen very well, there will be people who might hear me because of the experiences they've had with ministers. After the service, this is not a call to ask anybody to give anything. This is a call to tell you to go back home and search the word. What sin in my house while I'm crying? It will not leave anyone without a seed. The widow of Zarephath was a widow for many years also. And Elisha was passing by every day. They had a seat. They had a special room in the house that nobody was using. They just gave the room to Elisha. And he said that by this time next year, how do we break into this realm where it's not a promise that's afar off? It's something that happens. They've been telling you God will do great things through your life. 7, 8 years have passed. Nothing much is happening. You do understand. There's no sin in the ground.
Jesus, take your place.
I think I've told you before. When we wanted to have the program in Abeokuta last year, everything, or 2 years ago, everything was just slow. Under the group, it's not our church program, it's just a personal vision given to me. So what I did was, I told the people in the city, I said, open an account there for the people in the city. I'm not a signatory, I don't have access to the account. So that we could be accountable. I said, people help me from there. They give to me directly, I can be accountable and pretend. But I said, over there, I don't know, choose people. So they chose a professor, wife, and somebody to be the signatory. People, and then I will call, do you have any money? They got no money. And I said, no, this meeting is bigger, time is going. I knew that I was to give a seat, so I was asking God. Then he told me. I just felt it. Locate the biggest orphanage in the city. Out of what you don't have, what you are presently like, spend everything on those children there. I called Dr. Inka Bitoya and I said that I have been to the orphanage before. I said, please help me find out what is their greatest need. As soon as I did, everything changed. I was listening to a pastor. He had this terrible stomach stuff and they were going to do a healing meeting in Canada. People think that when God gives you an anointing, that means that you'll be healthy at all times. You will have to use your faith. And he was wondering, what is going to happen? He said every day he kept seeing the picture that on getting to Canada, he will fall down and they will carry him to hospital instead of preaching or ministering to people. It was so real. He said he fasted, he prayed that the picture wouldn't go. Then a friend of his came, another pastor, and they were discussing the word of God. And he got so blessed. When I was, he said, come, and then he gave that one his S-class Benz. He said as the guy drove it out of his garage, the stomach disturbance left. When he got to Canada, it was such a meeting. Unusual meeting. Of course, he got many, many other cars back in return. I am just saying to you, I have seen too many weeping Christians. You see, when we get into matters of this is every time I do today, just introduction, sacrifice, we will get into some things. In every ancient town, whether Yorubas, Igbo, whatever in the past, because in the realm of the spirit, some things, some truths, they are parallel. Yeah. Some principles are the same. The way you don't see angels, you don't see demons physically. Yes. There is God, there is Satan. They are both invisible. There are some general stuff. Like I told them on Wednesday, songs are codes in the spirit. There are songs that attract angels and there are songs that attract demons. There is nowhere they worship idol. They don't have a particular song they sing for the idol. Because they are codes in the spirit. One of such, there will be a plague. If you are very far, I grew up in Yoruba land. I mean, born of Yoruba parents. But I'm not Yoruba. But born of Yoruba father, mother. So am I. Well, tell the guy, let's say we are Yorubas. Let's say. At least my parents are Yoruba, so let's see. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. So we grew up in Abeokuta watching a lot of Yoruba films. No matter what, there will be a plague in the city. They are going to summon the chief priest. At the end of the day, either the king or somebody will carry a sacrifice. And it will end the whole thing. It's a spiritual law. As the angel of destruction stretched his sword over Jerusalem, God told David, go and offer sacrifice. And God told the angel, shield your sword. Opposite of the cross itself. What God is trying to achieve in many people, that he will tell you to give us, saying that we should be 30 on Sunday morning. We will come to church, I will be 15. And we're just reducing. And that day, I was praying every day for about 6 hours, fast from Monday till evening, till 6 p.m. Break by 6, continue the following day. And I got to church. I had an encounter while praying. I was too sure I would be so many in church that day. I got to church and we reduced further. Honestly speaking, I was fed up. Like, Lord, what else can I do? At least I won't kill myself. Fast and pray every day. Sometime from 10 to 5, straight like that, I'll be praying. Then that day, as I was sad, somebody walked up to the after service and gave me some money. That was really consolation, maybe about 800 or so. And I branched. I've told this story before. Branch was it Tantalizer, which it KFC, TFC, TFC, tasting. There was no KFC that time. And I bought this rice as a consolation price. And I was cutting with Shola. And I got home. And our gate mama, Lo, Sabo, Sabo's daughter, Beria, one small girl with a hijab, was just outside. And the Lord said, give that food to her. I said, Lord, Shay, Ele. See, I would have preferred God to say, fast for another 2 days. I would have done that conveniently. But this one, the only consolation, just like God gave Abraham one child, even though he promised him an entire nation, he now came out and said, that one child said, give me back. You know, I felt as if I did here. I entered the house with the food. But I'm like, Lord, you know I can't disobey you. I came out. And I called the girl and I gave her. She looked right, looked left, to be sure that her parents were not watching. Hid under the staircase and devoured the food. I stood there for about 30 seconds when she started eating. It was like she was eating me. But a turnaround. Who would have thought? When it was Pastor Goka who spoke here, one of the people that spoke during the conference, was when I went to pray for the camp. He shared a story that touched me deeply. I think he fasted for 3 days dry, and his wife will always prepare, you know, the food he will take. Because if you fast without food and you rush food, you become sick. So he was waiting. The fasting will end 12 midnight. And you know, when it's like 11, we'll be looking at time almost every now and then. Now, okay, where will the thing end? This is very interesting. And he kept looking. And he kept looking. Then he said, around 11:30. And if you look at the time is getting longer. But then, as he was doing that, the presence of God just came down around 11:30 in the night. And he began to pray. And the flow was there. And by 12, the anointing was well in the house. And the Spirit of God told him, you are preaching somewhere tomorrow, I know. Go and lie down and rest. Let's continue tomorrow. Leave food for now. He told God, no. He said, because he had seen the rice. He prepared the food. And he, you know, when you have your plan that, okay, I will take this food juice for us after 15 minutes, he said, Lord, you know, you can't tell me, let's not go there. He said, but the Spirit, he said, he only stayed 5 more minutes and the anointing rose on that level. He said, because he had made up his mind, he disobeyed God. He called for the rice, put spoon, and if God wants to catch you, as he put the food in his mouth and he entered the stomach, just one spoon, the voice of God spoke, I would have taken your ministry many heights, but now you don't deserve it. He could not eat the rest of the food again. He said, no, why didn't you say this before I took one spoon? But there is a part of rice in my belly. Of course, he said he pained him. But then he finished the food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes, you know, there are some stories you will remember. There was this guy in my secondary school. I don't know where he went to inside the school. No, there was a parent to park outside. 70% of my students in my school, they were boarding students, some were day students. So the school I went to, all the rich people in our building, that was their school. All the kings, commissioners, all of them, most of our classmates were commissioners, children, this one, that one, director of education, and kings. And so a lot of official class after school. And this guy, it was the father that came to pick him. And the father was inside the car for over 1 hour. His brother came out, they didn't know where he was. Brother was there, SS2, he was in GSS3 then. And the father, I knew there was no GSS, the father just sat in the car with the brother, waiting. School closed 2:20, 3:20, they were here to see this guy. The father was annoyed. So somebody in school told him that your father is outside. So he started coming out. You were expecting to run to the car. As he came out, there was a guy selling bongs. Then he told him. And he said to that your father will kill. He said, I know. He said, oh, I know that I will be beaten. He said, so let's cuckoo. He said, but I want to eat bongs. He said, so before I chop the beating, let me chop and know that I'm satisfied. Shall we rise? You know the choice he did. Even when the father said, the father had planned to beat him. When the father heard what he told his friend, the father just started laughing. And then he said, you're a useless boy. I mean, he wasn't joking. Then I know I'll be beating, but let's cuckoo finish what we have started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Is someone blessed this morning? Look at me, everybody. Don't watch season going and just hoping that one day something will change. Ask the Lord. There is a seed with you that changes. Many times, our resources, our health, they are given to us
to fight with on the day of battle. It is true. We are going to continue second service. I have to stop here. Jesus, we give you praise. Jesus, we love you. If you are into business or whatever, your work, whatever you do, but you are not a giver, it will help you. You debate tight, debate things, or you are inconsistent, it will help you. What you are doing is not standing on the right foundation. Three things you must put on, and there are threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. Whatever you do, put praise on it. Speak words of God over it and put seed on it. Connect it. There must be something from that thing. And you don't give God trouble. Something from that thing that goes into the kingdom. That is how to connect. Not by saying, using Christian name for the business. That's how to connect. Some go as low as 30%. Have you read about Coca-Cola and some of these things before? Many people don't know the story behind some of these things. Coca-Cola. You don't know the story behind some of these things. There are business built on covenants. Yeah. Those who are non-Christians, that's why some of them also, they give a lot to the poor. There is something that I'm trying to connect. I stop here. Hope somebody's helped. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. We receive your word. Help everyone to walk in the truth, in the light of your word. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family, and that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again, and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and from today I belong to you. If you have said those words, well, believe you are born again, you are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. God bless you.